going to take it. Got it! Boston wins!
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Welcome into another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. He's Bob Ryan. I'm Jeff Goodman. And Bob, you got your favorite shirt on this week?
Your tight number shirt on.
Who's next? Who's next after, right? What do we got, KG?
They're talking KG at five, which, you know, it was a brief career, really, relatively speaking. But it was an impactful one for sure. There's a lot of push, you know, for that.
Are you behind it? Like, where are you with the KG thing? I'm torn on it.
I'm not crazy about that. No, not necessarily. But the thing is, the ship sailed so long ago on the glut of retired numbers with the Celtics. And it to the point of comedy. And we have this, if not him, then them. And then the other one, and the other one, and the other one. I mean, so you're going to have the, you know, 22A is going to be a uniform number with the Celtics for 104. You know, that's coming if they keep retiring numbers. So
it is.
You know, I mean, no offense, but no, if I had to, yeah. I'd say no, I'm sorry. It was, yeah, we need a little longer career than that, you know, but anyway, but, you know, we.
I mean, I feel like if you won multiple titles.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing.
I know. They could have, you know, his injury cost them one, I think.
Right.
And for sure, in 2009. And then.
6 years, know, though.
But after that, that's your own fault. You know, in 2010, they had a 3-2 lead. And, you know, we can go on and on and on. All right. You know, they had another lead against Miami. But anyway, the next one is going to be him, though. If it is anybody, it'll be five.
Yeah, I mean, listen, after that, I don't know who you know. I mean,
obviously, you know what? I'm not lying. I don't even know what number Tatum is. I don't know what number Tatum, I'm not paying any attention. Oh, he's a zero. Is he zero?
Zero. He's single zero. Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
We already had zero. Double zero. You know, we know that. And I'm not paying any attention to numbers. I don't know what Kemba's number is. So help me God. I don't know what Brown's number is.
Kemba's eight. Because of the Walker, you know, Antoine to Kemba.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Jalen is, what is Jalen?
Can't be 24. That's gone. I don't know what it is. I don't even know.
24.
Is this a damning admission that means I just means I'm not paying any attention to the numbers?
Yeah, I really don't either anymore. I don't know why, but I really don't pay much attention to the numbers.
And think of really in the NBA of the time of our time, is there the LeBron? You know, all right, you know, but not
number seven. Jaylen Brown is number seven. Just so you know.
Well, I think seven. I think Tiny Archibald. So,
yeah, me.
No, and I love Jaylen Brown, so you know that. But I still think Tiny Archibald, you know. So
I don't know how many triple doubles Tatum has, but it's he's not going to catch Russell Westbrook. He's not going to catch the Big O. We know that Oscar Robertson has 181, and Russ is knocking on the door. Bob Ryan, it's the biggest story, not involving the play-in games and the seeding as we come down the stretch here. It seems like he gets one every single night right now. Russ does.
He's averaging it again. This will be like the fourth time.
Yeah.
He's averaging one right now. And he's on his way to a third assist title. And he is on his way to his 11th straight year scoring 20 plus. And in the last half a dozen of them, it's 25 plus.
Right.
Including one year at 31. And he had a game that by even his own lofty standards was remarkable on Monday night.
Yeah.
In that little 154 to 141 triumph, a game I love against the Pacers. He only took eight shots, Jeff. He took eight shots. He made five.
It's like he's trying to prove something, but they got to win games. So
But he had 21 rebounds and a career high 24 assists. Amazing. And I'm here to tell you that in the history of the league, there haven't been too many 24 assist games by anybody at any time. And then last night they won. I mean, they lost by a point, the Milwaukee, on Wednesday evening. He came back with a checked in with a routine 29, 12, 17, 17 assists. Okay. So I raised this question. Is he still getting his proper appreciation? And if not, why not? And I know I'm part of the problem, because I'm still reluctant to fully acknowledge his greatness. Why? I don't seem to like him. And yet, is this fair or unfair? What is my problem? I don't know. What is?
I think, you know, again, I think part of it is he hasn't wanted a high enough level, right? That's number one. He's on a team right now that's, you know, just struggling to get in with two of the top players in the game, you know. If Russ and Brad Beal, those are two of the
top. They are playing well as we speak.
They are. Listen, they're playing well, but they're still 30 and 36 and struggling just to get into playing.
Oh, yeah.
So Russ hasn't been on teams lately that have been great. I mean, and again, it's funny because I go through it too. When I've talked to Russ, I don't know Russ well by any means, but when I've talked to him, there's a part of me that loves Russ because of how competitive he is.
Oh, boy.
And after games, you'll find times where if you ask him something, if they've won, Russ is great. Even if he doesn't put up numbers. Mm-hmm. And when they've lost, he is the worst human being in the world to deal with as media. So I respect that, Bob.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. I respect his competitiveness. He doesn't play the game with the media at all. He's old school. And he is just so talented. But again, has he gotten better as a shooter? No. I mean, he's really, I mean, let me see if I have it in me right now. Shooting 31% from three this year.
No, that's about
26% from three last. I mean, the best year he ever had shooting the three was in 16-17. He shot 34% from three. Mm-hmm. So this is a guy who really hasn't gotten better in that regard. And I think certainly that's hurt him. But as much as anything, I think media is hot and cold with this guy because he's hot and cold with us.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not.
He hasn't wanted, you know,
he's not
gotten along with KD. You know, he and KD don't get along great. It feels like he's never kind of meshed with whoever he's played with, whether it's the personality part of it or the game part of it.
Yeah. And yet, right. But you're talking about not having won enough at the highest level. You don't hold that against Oscar, by the way, because, right. You know, of course, he was in the cut up, you know, he was with good Royals teams that couldn't get by the Russell Celtics. Yep. Then he finally, in the late in life, he got the chance. We go to Milwaukee and he, in fact, got a ring. And went back to another finals for what I believe was his final year at 73-74. But nobody holds that against him. But, you know, you can't hold it. Nobody holds anything against anybody who didn't win in the Russell Weaver. You know, that's
right.
A different matter.
Right, exactly.
And you can't, you know, I mean, that the team holds true for West and Baylor and a lot of other truly good players that didn't win because the Celtics were monopolizing everything in those days. Anyway, and Oscar Yet is the guy that Westbrook gets, you know, linked with for obvious reason, you know, an obvious reason. So no, it's just, I just think it's interesting. It's just, I don't know if we put it a yeah, but or what, you know, for the full acknowledgement of his greatness. You know, he keeps doing this thing. I mean, when the first year he did it, you know, they go the average of triple double. Oh, it was historic because nobody's done it since Oscar.
Yeah.
And now we go, okay. That's,
But is it? Does it mean less, Bob? Because, like you said, the scores are in the 130s. So, you know, consistently. How do you equate it to Oscar did?
Okay, I love this one because this in Oscar's. This is what's, you can't dispute this. I'm not, in Oscar's day, it was easier to get rebounds and harder to get assists.
Sure.
Easier to get rebounds because people took a lot of shots and made fewer of them as a group. The standard in Oscar's time was you better get up 100 shots a night if you're going to win a game. Okay. That was just a given. No one wrote it down in the cement, but it was what everybody understood. That was understood. And meanwhile, obviously there was no such thing as an assist on a three-pointer. There was no three-pointer. There was no such thing as an assist on a 20-footer either, as a rule. Right. You had to have a real assist. And you better hope that guy didn't dribble more than twice on his way to the basket.
That's the difference for me with assists, you know, from the way they used to judge assists. Now it's like, it feels like everything's a hockey assist, even.
I've seen the transformation. And you can bet that I can tell you exactly, my opinion, this is where it started to change. And that was Magic. And they liked padding Matt. They wanted Magic to get those assists. And, and I just think it accelerated from there. I'm not saying it began with Magic, but it really took root with Magic. And the idea of what kind, and Bird benefited from it. You know, Bird benefited. Sure. I mean, they all did it. Once the three came in, you're getting assist on a three, but it's harder to get. It was much, much harder to get an assist in those days for anybody. So what Oscar did by averaging double figures assists in 1962.
It's amazing.
Was really that's something. Now, rebounds are harder to get now. People take fewer shots, make more of them. Yep. Period. So, you know, the way you judge, the way we should judge rebounders, and this goes back to when Dennis Rodman was in his heyday, and for me, and historically, very simple: percentage of available rebounds.
Totally.
You can do this. Yep. And you can rate the historically great rebounders by percentage of available rebounds. So we know exactly. We can find out where Russell rates and where Moses Malone rates and where Dennis Rodman rates and where Andre Drummond rates now. You know,
who's the greatest rebounder you've ever seen?
Well, it was Russell.
Yeah.
And in his time and the quickness to the ball, and Wilt, you know, Wilt's numbers are, you know, but you know, people see these box score numbers, 25 rebounds a game. Well, There were a lot of rebounds to get, folks. I have to tell you, there were a lot of rebounds to get. Somebody had to get them, you know. I'll tell you though, Rodman was a tremendous rebounder. You know, he was a great two-way rebounder in this time. And I say, offense and defensive rebound. Barkley.
Yeah.
Barkley was a great rebounder. And
he used his body. He used that ass so well.
He used that. He used that butt and he was relentless on the offensive boards. And he was a great two-way rebounder. The greatest offensive rebounder, though, in mythical, was Moses. I'll never forget this one, Jeff. I was moonlighting from a Celtic road trip. I actually made a road trip in 1975, I think it was. Okay, in which the Celtics were going west, and I hopped off the plane in Chicago to start off, and went to see the Knicks play the Bulls. I told the trainer to pick my bag up at the airport in I think Omaha was the next stop they were playing. So no, it was a little busy. All right. And then I moonlighted in between the Celtic games in the ABA. And I went to games in Denver and Salt Lake City. And I went to six games in six nights in six different states. Two different leagues. Now that was a trip. All right. I walk into Salt Lake City, I think, and they're playing. Who the hell is Moses is with them? Was with the Utah Stars, right? And Larry Brown's coaching the Nuggets, and I knew Larry. And he says, "Bob, Moses Malone is the greatest offensive rebounder I've ever seen in my life." He was 19 years old, and the standard of excellence in those days, Jeff, was I covered him, Paul Silas.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, Larry.
Right.
Please.
He's 19.
Bob, I'm telling you. Right. Well, guess what? The man knew wherever he spoke.
He was a beast. I mean, Moses was.
And, the relentless is the quickness to the ball. That's the great thing about rebounding, the timing. I heard. No, all right, rebounding. I'm going to go. I'm mounting the soapbox, folks, right now because we're on the topic. All right, let's talk about it. Here's the number one rule of rebounding. Do you want the damn ball or don't you? Effort, number one. Number two, positioning. Number three, timing. Can't be taught. Number four, strength to hold the position if it's necessary. And fifth and least important, jumping.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five. And the great proof of that was Wes Unseld.
couldn't get off the floor.
He didn't. Right. Now, I saw the young Wes Unseld, by the way, as a sophomore at Louisville, who only weighed about 235 or 40 at that point.
Really?
And had some lift. And the first time I ever saw Wes Unseld, Jeff, he dropped 35 points and 26 rebounds on the Boston College Eagles, but we beat them in triple overtime. In the NIT. Anyway, so that's the rebounding thing. And Moses Malone fulfilled the effort one, the positioning one, the timing one. The other one, the quickness of your leap, the quickness to the ball. Russell was astonishingly quick to the ball. Wilt was not. Right. Russell didn't have to gather himself. You know, Russell, Wilt did.
Yeah.
Well, of course, Wilt was 7 feet one and a specimen. But he had to gather himself. If you don't have to gather yourself, you know, he was very quick to the ball in his young prime, was a great rebounder. And Bird, people talk about it. He didn't run, he didn't jump. He was
man, position.
The ball.
Yeah,
and he fulfilled. Yep. He wanted to get it.
Everything else.
The positioning, the timing, and quickness to the ball. And that's a gift. That is a gift. That cannot be taught, as far as I know.
The Ryan and Goodman podcast brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
See, I think with Westbrook and rebounding, obviously you got two things. You got effort and you got quickness and athleticism and all that. And that can make up for a lot of other things if you want it, especially as a guard. I mean, you got to put a body on Russ.
The positioning thing, it also includes the intelligence of understanding angles, you know, and so many guys are Moses understood where a ball is likely to come off based on where the shot was taken, kind of thing. I don't know if that's teachable or that is just an instinct. I don't know, but that's part of the whole positioning thing I'm talking about. And I'm
all
sure.
Right, so
I gotta believe that Westbrook is a master of that.
Now listen, again, Russell Westbrook's going to go down. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a guy that probably never quite gets the respect that maybe he deserved. And like you said, there are questions as to why, but I think the biggest reason is he hasn't won at the highest level, and he's played with some pretty darn good players. He played with KD. He's played with Paul George. He played with Harden last year.
Yeah.
He's now playing with Bradley Beal. So it's not like he's been left on an island by himself, yet they haven't been able to do it. Now, again, I get it. A lot of the teams that have won with three guys, right?
Yeah.
But the Lakers won with two. They won with the best player on the planet, but they've won with two. It can be done with two if you're that good. To me, Russell Westbrook isn't that good.
He's 32 years old now. You know, I'm not saying the clock is ticking, but you have to start thinking about, you know, opportunities for him given the nature of his game. He won't be playing when he's 40. You know, big men do that and you know, but not.
The problem is, too, he's not a great shooter now. So, yeah. You know, he and Bradley Beal, I think, is a better shooter than his numbers suggest. And a lot of people who have gone at me about this Jaylen Brown, Bradley Beal deal, throw that in my face. And what I say to them is put Bradley Beal on a team where he can get some open looks and be less of a volume shooter. And Bradley Beal's a much better shooter, in my opinion, than Jaylen Brown. I know the numbers don't support that. I get it. But I will bet my house in anything in the same type of shots. If they get the same quality looks, that Bradley Beal is going to make more from the perimeter than Jaylen
Brown. I think of Bradley Beal as a shooter. I think of Jaylen Brown as a scorer.
Right. And Jaylen's done a great job of getting better.
I'm with you.
As a shooter.
Now, but as far as the trade's concerned, but Jaylen Brown brings a few other things to the table too. So, you know.
He's a better defender. Bradley Beal's a better ball mover. I'm just saying, and again, I hate to go back to it, but we'll go back to it for a minute here. I'm just saying, if the Celtics don't go anywhere in the playoffs, whether it's the play-in or they get in the sixth spot, you've got to shake it up. That's my only take on this is you've got to shake it up. And there's only, to me, there's only option A and option B. Option A is Brad Stevens. Option B is Jaylen Brown to shake it up. Mm. There's nothing else you can do. These people that try to say Kemba Walker, you cannot get enough for Kemba Walker. No, he was great last night, but nobody is going to give you value more than 50 cents in the dollar for Kemba Walker.
No, I understand that. I think you're right. No, I reluctantly agree with you about the inclusion Brad in this discussion, but you know, it's
I do too. Listen,
it's come to that.
It's going to be here, Bob. If they don't get through the first round of the playoffs, it is going to be here, and it should be here. They absolutely have a decision to make. Danny Ainge does in ownership on Brad.
Even if they're 6-3 is Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you're not supposed to win that matchup. We know that, but you're barely going to squeeze into 6 behind the New York Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks, Bob. That's an embarrassment right now.
Yep. The Hawks one, you know, they just miraculously found themselves with the coaching change, it seems to me. And the Knicks have been gradually building to this all year, really, you know. Has it come to the point where we must take the Knicks seriously?
I don't think we're there.
I'll define seriously as they could win a playoff. Could they win a playoff?
Yeah, I mean, if they're in the 4 or 5, they can.
Yeah, of course they could, yeah.
You know, if you're putting them up against one of the top three, no, I don't think they're ready for that. They need another piece. Can they get that free agent, Bob, to pair with Julius Randle and RJ?
Oh, that's going to be a very fascinating offseason question. If they can finally, you know, shed the Dolan, you know, aura and get somebody to come to them that isn't coming, dragging, kicking, and screaming, you know, then somebody volunteers to join. I would think it's going to happen if they – you know, unless they implode.
Got to be the right guy.
You know, I would think they have a shot at it in a way I just, you know, they haven't had at all. 10 years ago was his MVP year. And he was 21 years old. And he's having a renaissance that, you know, we've talked about him on. And I keep going back to it. The young Derrick Rose had to be seen in person to appreciate, unlike almost any guard I'd ever seen. You couldn't appreciate him if you didn't have that feel of the whoosh in person. You know, then you understood what made him different. I'm happy. You know, I'm not saying he's had his off court stuff, but anyway, it's professionally, I'm happy for him. And he and Tibbs, whoever would have thought that this reunion would have been so fruitful? You know
what the good thing is with Derrick Rose? I feel like you can coach him. I mean, again, he was obviously coached by Calipari at Memphis. So he was prepared. I feel like he's the type that nothing gets to him. Like, I've seen him enough, and you can yell, you can scream, you can call him whatever you want. Nothing is going to bother Derrick Rose. And if it does, he's not going to show it. Mm-hmm. So I think coaches, you know, Tibbs can go hard at him. I feel like he's kind of an old school guy in that regard. You know, RJ Barrett, his father, Rowan, grew up, you know, as a pretty good player coming out of St. John's. And has been involved in Canadian basketball.
No, I saw him in the international competition.
So like RJ, his godfather is Steve Nash. So he's been groomed for this. I remember Rowan telling me a story when they were young. It's kind of cool. When RJ was young, they would go to the airport as a family. And like, I don't know how, maybe RJ was like 8 years old, 9 years old. And the parents would tell him and say, all right, you get us to the gate. You get us to the gate. We're not going to give you any help. You get us to the gate. And then they would, like at dinner, they would have like a fork and hold it up to RJ and do interviews with him, mock interviews when he was young. So he has been groomed for this.
Wow, that's good.
A lot more mature than a lot of guys. And Julius Randle's just been, I don't even say a revelation, because like Julius Randle was a stud coming out of high school. Like I thought he was going to be better than Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins. And he is, but for a while there, it didn't look promising. So the big question I have for you, Bob, though, is how much of a factor is James Dolan now? Is it now where they've won enough and they got Tibbs and they got new guys at the top and Leon Rose to where it's become less of a factor?
I would think such as I have you know, such as it is, my powers of logic tell me the answer is they have crossed the threshold. They're okay now with this. I think that
that's huge.
The Dolan thing has receded. The Leon Rose management and the Tibbs thing and the success. I think I'll be surprised if somebody doesn't answer the call.
It's like, now, is it Carl Anthony Towns? Is it Devin Booker? You know, like, who is it? I mean,
we'll have to explore. I'd have to have.
It'll be Booker because he's winning. Phoenix is winning at a high enough level.
Of contracts and stuff before I could get into that. But I just think it's conceivable to answer it. But I just don't think that Dolan's going to be an obstacle. That's the answer.
Yeah. That's huge because he was.
The Rangers, what just happened.
What is he doing with that? Like, James Dolan is such a poor owner. I mean, he is so bad at his job, and yet the Knicks have found a way despite James Dolan so far, which to me, I give Leon Rose, who I really didn't know would be able to get this done. But that's the new route, right? Right, Bob?
Yeah.
The agent route, because they already have relationships with clients to where...
Well, the Mets tried it and it didn't work, I can tell you that.
True, but it worked with Pelinka.
It's worked with
enough guys. To whereas that's why they did it.
Well,
I just questioned it. I questioned it because I question every move James Dolan makes.
Yeah.
If they can land a CAA guy, you know, this is going to be a Kentucky / CAA team. You know, the combination, either guys went to Kentucky, they're going to have a shot because of World Wide West, or CAA because of Leon Rose. And that's going to be the core of the team, which is fine if you get the right guys. And again, Julius Randle has been awesome. I'm so happy for him. I've always been a huge Julius Randle guy. So it's been great to see him be kind of the guy that this whole team is built around. And they just got to bring in the right guy to be able to play with him and gel with him.
This episode of the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast is brought to you by LinkedIn. 2021 is looking up. New beginnings means new opportunities to grow your business. And if part of your strategy is adding new members to your team, well, LinkedIn Jobs finds that right person very quickly. To make things better, your job post is absolutely free. When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free when you head over to linkedin.com/scribe. LinkedIn is an active community of professionals with more than 722 million members worldwide. Getting started is easier than ever with new features to help you find qualified candidates quickly. Post a job with targeted screening questions and LinkedIn will quickly get your role in front of more qualified candidates. As functions are streamlined onto one simple screen, and now you can do this from your mobile device. No matter where you are, no matter where the day takes you, that's how LinkedIn Jobs can help you hire the right person faster. And let's face it, a hell of a lot easier, right? When your business is ready to make that next hire, find the right person with LinkedIn Jobs. And now you can post a job for free. Just visit linkedin.com/scribe. Again, that's linkedin.com/scribe to post a job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so we got 12 days now, Bob, until the second play-in in the NBA. And LeBron, I guess, was on record a while ago saying he liked it. And then he was on record very recently saying he doesn't like it.
Well, they're sitting six, right?
They're sitting six right now,
so
which
suddenly,
would open them. That would open panic. Them against Denver.
Yeah, that which
open, right now which, they play Denver in the first round, which is actually a favorable first round matchup because Denver doesn't have Jamal Murray. But getting into it first, is LeBron a hypocrite on this or what?
Yeah, it's getting personal. So if it's, I think it's a transparent synthetic. I use the word transparent in the old way. It's synthetic. It's phony. It's BS. LeBron, it was an abstract. It was fine, but now when it's real and you're involved, it's not so good, is it? I mean, it's so obvious to me. What other conclusion can you draw?
Right. He never thought he'd be playing.
And by the way, I'm generally, you know, I think LeBron. Nobody's been pro, but he's had a lot of good public pronouncements in his life, and they weren't so good. But this one is really self-serving, you know, for sure.
They're a half a game out of the play-in right now. They're a half a game in front of Portland for the final spot. Imagine if they had to play San, I mean, it'd be a one game play-in. You know they'll win it. They're not going to lose to San Antonio in a play-in, but I think it would just be funny.
Oh, it would be. You know, I would be howling.
Right.
No, I mean, although you know, it's only because of injury and COVID. We know that an injury, but no, it's it. But the idea of it last year to me, anything they did in bubble basketball, they could justify. You know, I thought I certainly didn't anticipate it would be returning.
Nobody did.
Padding of playoffs in any sport is done because the upper echelons, the ruling bodies of sport want to involve more cities, more fans, more meaningful regular season games. And in the abstract, it seems like a worthy aim, but I could live without it. I never really worried about that stuff, but obviously other people do. Do you think it's possible that this is going to be a permanent way of doing business?
I don't, but I like it.
You do like it.
I do. I just think it brings some intrigue. More teams are involved down the stretch. So I don't know. They're playing for something.
We had enough in the past battles for 8 and 9, sometimes three teams battling for that 8th spot. Yeah. Enough. It's not good enough.
Listen, for me, it is. I don't mind some change. Like, I don't want like crazy change, but I don't mind like this. I thought it was fun last year. I'm okay with it again. You know, because these teams, otherwise, like you just look at that first round matchup, a lot of them are garbage, right? They're 1-8. So at least you got some intrigue, Dame and CJ McCollum. And I don't know. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with keeping it. I don't know. Yeah. And I'm more of an old school guy like you of like, hey, don't mess with something if it's good, but I don't mind this one. I kind of like it and we'll see how it is in its second kind of iteration here of kind of how it looks not in the bubble.
Okay.
But I love the fact that right now we're talking about LeBron potentially playing in it.
I know. Well, he doesn't like it, but no, he
does. The drama would be great in a one-game deal. Like, what if he has a bad game?
I'd watch that game.
And everybody will. But that game will get better ratings than the first-round matchup.
Yeah.
And then playing Denver because it's a one-and-done. And, hey, we all know how the one-and-dones can work out.
I got to ask you, it's quickly changing topics. I just became aware within the last hour of the Udonis Haslam situation. Are you aware of this?
No. What's the Udonis Haslam?
He's still on the roster.
Right.
He has not played a second of basketball.
All year.
He will get credit for pension and extension and all that. But if he doesn't play, it won't count on his longevity. And he won't be able to say I played 21 years or 20, And last year, they gave him some token time at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But they haven't done it yet.
Won't they do it?
And of course, they're involved in the debt struggle in this whole thing we were just talking about.
Yeah, but you can't find a minute. All you got to do is throw them in there.
Eric Spoelstra is what I read is promising he'll do it, but he hasn't done it yet. As the days are as we
last year he played
40 minutes,
four games. He played four games last year. I'm looking for how many minutes he actually played last year.
Yeah, how many?
I'll tell you in a sec here.
Yeah.
Not many. That's for darn sure. Let's see. Here we go. He played what did he play? Five minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes. He played 23 minutes in the final. I think it was final game of the regular season.
Really?
23 minutes in the final game. So if that game doesn't matter, Spo will play him extended minutes.
Spo says he's going to do it, but anyway, I just think I go back. It's hard, he was playing for Florida in the 2000 finals, and he had like 20. He was a freshman.
Yep.
He hit Michigan State for like 20 some, right? 20.
Hey, tell me you don't think he'd be good if the Celtics could bring in Haslam in the same role he's got here and he doesn't play 1 minute in Boston, would you do it?
Ooh, is that necessary?
Well, in the locker room, it might be.
He bring that much? Yeah. He must, apparently. We got a 15-man roster. I mean, you know, obviously you can do it. You know,
that's what I'm saying.
I find it interesting, though, this whole story. I was unaware of it. That's all.
Like, if I told you you could have Haslam in the locker room or Carson Edwards for the year.
Oh, okay. All right.
You take him.
I'll take Haslam. We certainly, you know.
So I'm saying, like, how many games is Carson Edwards winning you on the court?
Zero.
How many games could Udonis Haslam win you by the chemistry, the leadership, the accountability, the veteran presence?
If it's one or two, that's enough.
There you go.
There you go.
I would absolutely.
I give you that game, set, match to Goodman on that one. I give you that one.
Hey, your boy Kyrie, his usual media friendly antics. He was fined, what, 35 grand or something?
35 grand. The team also gets a fine, too. Hey, you know, my favorite, plus la chance, plus la même chose. There's never a change with Kyrie. He dazzles you on the court when he's on his game. He's as good at getting to the basket as any guy his size has ever been. He might hit you with five threes too. He can play. We know he can play. But my God, you got to put up with stuff.
And are you rooting against the Knicks? The Nets come playoff time?
Oh yeah.
You are.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I don't want the Nets to win.
They're hard to like, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't. And I have never been against Steve Nash, but I'm sorry, I don't. Yeah, the Nets. No, I mean, of the triumvirate of the Philly Nets, Milwaukee, I would, if it came down to that, I would root for Milwaukee just because I want to see them get it done, get that monkey off their back kind of thing. Plus, I like Milwaukee. You know,
it'd be great to see Milwaukee, like you said, with everything that they've kind of been through the last couple of years of kind of knocking on the door, having the expectations. And Giannis, just, again, everything we've heard, we talked to Pat Connaughton, we've talked to other people about him. John Horst, we had on, and you never hear a bad word about Giannis.
So I can easily root for them, and I'm not anti Philly at all, but I would put them behind, but those three, I would go, you know, like to see Milwaukee win. But the answer to your question, no, I definitely, the Nets have become in my mind, a villainous entry into the.
Are they good? Is that good for the NBA that we have that villain? I think LA.
It's good if you got something like that. Yes, I think it's always good in any sport. Follow the Houston Astros around baseball this year, but seriously, no, the Nets, I think they will fulfill that role. And if they're smart, they'll embrace it, but you know, what the hell, you know, and us against the world, it's been a 21st century, you know, technique, right?
Those guys will embrace it.
Yeah. We're the only one. No one gave us a chance, even though, you know.
Right, that'll be the best part.
Nobody gave us a chance.
You have three Hall of Famers in your team. Cut the shit. All right, last question before we leave. I asked you to do a little homework.
Yeah, I know. It's a little tough, but I threw out a name.
My question. Let me pose the question. Yeah. As we know, college guys haven't done great in the NBA. As well as NBA guys haven't done great in college. It's an adjustment. It's a different ball game. But I asked you, what current college coach, if you're an NBA GM right now, and you can hire any coach in college today, who are you hiring?
Well, I mean, obviously I'm not qualified, frankly, but a name, I don't know his personality. I just know the results. And I'm sure you'll be able to tell me if I'm, but here's a wild one. Ready? Mike Anderson.
No, terrible.
Okay.
Awful.
Okay. I have no idea.
Atrocious.
I don't know. Danny Hurley. I don't know.
No. Actually, Mike Anderson's temperament works. I don't think the style works at all. Of play. Danny Hurley's temperament does not work. Players would probably punch Danny Hurley during the game when he did some. Here's
who tell me
who
You tell me. All right.
I got a few. A guy that's long been considered somebody is Bill Self, that the NBA people have really liked. And a lot of people, he's buddies with R.C. Buford in San Antonio. So a lot of people, I think they were college roommates.
And he may need a landing spot.
Right, exactly. So a lot of people think that when Pop retires, which I don't know when it's going to be, maybe in a year or so, that he could be in play there. Tony Bennett is a name that a lot of people have mentioned as well. Now, there's concerns about his offense.
Yeah.
He'd have to hire somebody. But his personality is similar to Brad Stevens.
I was going
to
say.
Now, is that good or bad? Because, again, I think the drawback with Brad Stevens right now is he may be too nice and too easygoing. And Tony Bennett has some of those same qualities. Now, Tony Bennett did play briefly in the NBA.
Yeah.
So he's played at a high enough level. I don't think any, you know, pro NBA guys right now know that. If you ask them if Tony Bennett played in the NBA, I think they'd all say no. Here's the name I would hire. And he won't go. He won't go, and I'll tell you the reasons why. Juwan Howard.
Oh.
Juwan Howard. Yes.
Yeah.
Here's why. He won't go because he's got a son on the team now and another son on the way.
Woo.
But I think once his kids are done, I could see Juwan Howard being a hot commodity and even a guy this offseason that maybe people reach out to. He's got so much respect throughout the NBA, obviously played at a high level,
yeah,
has the right personality for it. He'll go after guys. You could see it in college when he needs to, but ultimately he's pretty even keel. He'll even go after coaches like he went after Mark Turgeon. I don't know if you saw that little scuffle.
Yes, I did. My boy, Mark.
So I think Juwan Howard might be a guy that, again, for players would respect because he's done it at the highest level. And I think that is something that is very important in this day and age is connecting with the current players, earning their respect, getting them to play hard. I think Juwan Howard can do all that.
Do I ignore it? An elephant in the room called Jay Wright?
Yeah, I think Jay Wright, the only one he probably takes is the Philadelphia 76ers. Yeah. And he just basically wasn't.
But theoretically.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Out of context, Jay
would be terrific. I think Jay would be phenomenal. And it's funny because I don't want to say he invented it, but I think Jay was ahead of his time with small ball. Back when they had to play small, they had injuries.
Or guards.
Yeah. Randy Foy was their foreman. Randy Foy, who's 6'2.5", was their foreman.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So, you know, again, Jay Wright absolutely would be a guy. I just think Juwan Howard now checks all the boxes.
Very good. Very good.
So,
all right.
And he's a guy that I honestly, when he was hired in college, I didn't think it would go great because it never does with all these former NBA guys.
No, we've seen some real dumpster fires.
Exactly.
So,
all right. Well, next week, Bob, maybe the Lakers will be fully entrenched in the playing game when we come back and do our next spot. And
we are. The days are dwindling down to those precious few.
I can't wait. I'm really amped up here for the NBA playoffs around the corner here. And again, there'll be plenty of complaining by somebody, whether it's LeBron or somebody else, that they're in the playing game. In about a week and a half. So, thanks for joining us again, the Ryan and Goodman pod here. Make sure you listen, watch wherever you get your pods. And we'll see you next week.